From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Thanks to our guest today, a who's who highlighted by the Super Bowl winning head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid. It's always great to talk to Coach Reid. Paul Feinbaum, Ryan Terrio, and Mike North. Thank you to Randy Merkin and Chris Black, our great producers. Remember, tonight Mike and I have Odds Couple from 7 until 8, and then Jonathan Hood is on. Tomorrow we'll have the Encore Replay in the morning from 8 to 9 here on ESPN 1000. Followed by Midway, Jeff Meller, and Freddie Huebner. And, of course, you can always download the podcast. All the podcasts, all the interviews, everything you need at that awesome ESPN Chicago app. So make sure you download that on your smart device. Crosstalk is brought to you by PropSwap. Our guys, Luke and Ian, are standing by us during the pandemic, and we are standing by them. PropSwap.com, your home to buy and sell sports bets. Waddle and Sylvie coming up on this Friday to wrap the week. Waddle's off. Jesse Rogers is going to sit in with Sylvie today. How are you, boys?
What's going on? You remember I wore the shirt, you can't quiet the riot.
Yes, I do remember that.
07, 08.
Yeah. You can't quiet the riot, baby. He was a fan favorite, wasn't he, Sylvie, for a little while there, those Pinella teams that made the playoffs?
Yeah. Good guy. I liked him, right. I not everyone liked him. I liked him. Him and it was the Fontenot and Terrio Cubs with DeRosa and D-Lee and Aramis.
Pretty good. Alfonso Soriano. I mean, they did have a pretty solid team.
Until the playoffs.
Well, of course. That was pre-2015 magic, I guess
you'd say. Sylvie, did you hear his Lou Pinella story?
No, I missed it. So I was just listening now, Merk, when I heard. I'm like, oh, Ryan Terrio. What did he
Carmen,
say?
You want to tell
it? He said Pinella was so mad at whomever was the starting pitcher, he came walking out of the dugout, and he wasn't even paying attention. He was walking right towards Terrio, and he thought he did something wrong. And Lou looked up, and he realized he was in the wrong spot. He was out in the dirt at shortstop instead of on the pitcher's mound. And he's like, damn it.
So Lou.
It's great. It is very Lou, isn't it? Yeah.
Very Lou. Very
Jesse, how are you, bud?
Good. Yeah. Just plugging away, waiting for this thing to happen or not happen, I guess.
You think we get some movement over the weekend, Jess? Or no? You think it'll be next week?
No, I think next week. I think they'll send a little counter proposal.
Okay.
Sounds like the players want to play more games and the owners probably want to play less. It's still a canyon between the two sides. And one agent said, well, maybe we could play 100, they pay us for 82, but I don't know. I don't think that's gonna work either. So I still think an 11th hour deal can be had, and we'll get 3 months of baseball. But I'm like Jeff. I mean, I believe it, but I can't say it for sure.
I don't think anybody can say it for sure, but man, both sides have a lot to gain, don't they, coming into some agreement? I mean, they
And even more to lose. I think that's probably the better way.
Yeah, that's probably a better way to put it. You're right. Yeah,
I mean, there's some owners that probably don't have that much to gain. Teams that are out of it, that have high operating costs and have high salary. The Giants, high operating costs, expensive city, decent payroll with Buster Posey and these guys still there.
Older team, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few owners that definitely just want to just call it a year and start up again next year. So there's going to be a lot of give and take. I do think there'll be an agreement, but, man, there's a gulf right now between the sides.
I'll read you guys from some NBA news here, too. As the NBA's Board of Governors met Friday afternoon to assess options for how to restart the season, the league's GMs expressed their preference to go right to the playoffs. That makes sense. It'd spare the Bulls from coming back and playing. And a survey of all 30 GMs, which was viewed by ESPN, 16 said they would prefer the league come back with the typical 16-team playoff format, with the teams in the seedings based on the standings as the season was on March 12th. That was one of four potential return to play options presented, and it earned more votes than the other three options combined. So resume the regular season with all 30 teams, followed by a play-in tournament, got just 8 votes. So you had about
Follow the numbers, Carm. How many teams make the playoffs in the NBA usually?
16.
How many general managers say, let's go right to the postseason?
16.
Those are the ones that are in the postseason.
Yes.
Going to our New Orleans, teams like that, they're voting for the play-in. Portland,
yes.
You know, and then
Portland
there are
would
teams...
vote for, well, no, New Orleans is in the playoffs right now, right?
No, they are not. New Orleans is not in the playoffs. Are they neither is Portland. There
I
are
knew
so
Portland
many...
wasn't. Who's got the last seed? Is it Memphis?
There are so
yeah,
many
it's
teams.
Memphis.
Yeah, there are so many teams like on the cusp within three and a half in the West. So
yeah, the East is over.
Yes.
East
yes.
is done, yes.
And then
the
like
West,
a team
the West
like
is Portland, New Orleans, San Antonio, and Sacramento are the teams
chasing
that are kind
Memphis.
Of...
That's a hell of a... Black, isn't that a hell of a play-in tournament?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the names are like... So you have name value as far as teams, and then name value as far as players.
Well, and they want Zion on TV.
Yes.
Same with Damian Lillard.
So do
you,
I.
You want him playing in games.
Straight to the playoffs with either a play-in tournament or a World Cup-style group stage got 5 votes. That's probably the teams we're talking about out West, right? That would make sense for them.
Right.
Resume the regular season with all 30 teams, go straight to the playoffs. That got just 1 vote. So,
well, how do you think Karnišević is
Boylan
voting?
Boylan was the 1 vote there.
No, it's just the GM, so it would have been Karnišević's
okay.
vote. He
something,
probably...
I want to see 2-hour practices with him.
Yeah, Sylvie's a good question. I'm guessing he voted... I mean, what good... Does he want to see his team play? Does it make sense for him?
It gives him a chance to evaluate his training camp.
Yeah.
It gives him a chance to evaluate how players in a group before the off season starts. You know, he can look at the tape and, you know, I don't know how much you'd put into it, but at least you could look at practice habits, who stayed in shape.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's a good point. He'd probably prefer them play out these games.
Well, look, think of it this way. More information is better than less information, and that's what he'd be getting, information.
Right.
What, no skin off his back if there's practices and a few games for the Bulls, right? He has more information to work with going into the offseason. I mean, he has a big decision on Boylan to make, right?
Yeah. Or
hasn't that decision been made?
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. But, yeah, I mean,
better have been.
Right. I'd love to see 2-hour practices by Boylan as meaningless games coming. You know what I mean? Like, it would just be crazy to see the Bulls back in action.
What does Michael Reinsdorf see in Jim Boylan?
Did you see this, too? I guess Shams, does everyone else have? I don't know if Woj has this. Shams just tweeted.
What did he tweet?
That Adam Silver in the league office informed the Board of Governors that July 31st is a target date for the return of the season.
July 31. Okay. Boy, this thing's going to be fast and furious late summer, early fall, isn't it, guys?
Like, if we can get the health right, we are going to, like, while we have been in a desert now, we're going to have a sports festival, aren't we?
Yes.
It's so weird to think of basketball coming back 2 more months from now. 2 more months until it comes back. But you're right. When it does, it'll be with the NHL and baseball possibly, and it'll be crazy. And then the Triple Crown's going to run and the Masters. It's all going to be bunched into – and then football starts. Crazy.
It's going to be it's going to be a wild – like August through the end of the year, as long as these seasons can play and finish, it's going to be pretty wild. Jess, you hearing anything about the minor league stuff too? I know a lot of teams are starting to come out saying they are going to pay their minor league – I think the Twins said they're going to pay all their minor league players the $400 a week. I think the Royals are going to pay their minor leaguers for the whole year too. Anything else you're hearing about that here locally and what's going to happen with the minor leagues?
Not really. I haven't really followed exactly who's being cut and who isn't. I'm sort of thinking about the major league stuff, but I will say, I mean, I think it tells you which teams have some cash compared to some other teams, you know, or are willing to part with their cash, I guess is probably the better way of saying it. But that's what it tells me, which teams are a little bit more financially capable in this moment to spend a few bucks on these minor leaguers. I'd like to think they all want to take care of them, but they have some tougher decisions to make. I mean, we see them furloughing the major league employees. So it's a good indication which organizations are a little bit equipped to handle something like this, at least in the short term.
A's certainly aren't, but teams like even smaller markets like the Twins and the Royals are for right now. Big plans for the weekends, gents. So what are we doing for the weekend?
Well, it's going to be beautiful, right?
Beautiful.
I mean, we always joke about how Chicago goes from winter to summer. Like this, it looks like a true spring weekend, doesn't
it?
Like
it does.
Upper 60s, sunny. Perfect day to just be out. What are you guys? Well, I mean, Yurko's been back, really, because they've been
opened up longer.
Like, yeah, we have been.
Fred Huebner went to get a haircut today. I saw he posted that on Facebook. Like, what's the first thing, Carm, you want to do when we slowly reopen? Will it be go out to dinner on a patio?
That's going to be it for us. We're probably going to do that next weekend, actually. And, you know, either we were debating. My wife and I were talking about it last night. Like, is it reckless to take the kids? Because the thing with kids is, and I know, yes, everybody, it doesn't affect kids. Well, okay. But, you know, when you have kids that are our age, Sylvie's kids are about my kids' age. My kids are a little older. And for you guys like Jesse and York can remember these days, they don't grasp the concept yet, even at their age, of washing their hands, of trying to avoid, you know, germs. Like, we're debating, like, how much do we want to get them back out? They've been out with their friends a lot lately, to be honest. It's just, it got to a point where it was impossible. And we've tried to, the parents in the neighborhood have tried to limit the interaction best we can, kind of keep them in small groups. My son went with one of the dads and three of his buddies to play baseball and rode bikes last weekend. And, you know, we didn't get out there with 20 kids. But, you know, we've tried to do things like that where they're still having some sort of limited interaction. But we were talking about it last night. Like, do we just go somewhere and grab dinner? Do we take the kids? Like, we want to go sit on the best patio in the burbs by me. I live in Western Springs. The Gibsons in Oakbrook has, like, the best patio you could ever imagine. And they're reopening. And they're taking reservations. And I'm like, man, let's get out with the kids and go have dinner. That was, like, the last place we went as a family before the shutdown for my wife's birthday on March 9th. That's where we went. And I'm like, let's go. And she goes, yeah, should we just go? Should we take the kids? I don't. So we're like, we're debating. But I think next weekend we're going to go out and sit on a patio and go back to a restaurant, which we haven't done in 10 weeks.
You know, it's weird for me. The last time I went to dinner was with Boog Shambi and Jessica Mendoza.
How about that?
in Scottsdale at a Mexican restaurant, one of the new ones there. So
that's a crew,
like,
right there.
That is a good crew.
Yeah, it was good. Right. And Chris Bryant was at the table next to us. He's like, oh, geez, I can't get away.
That's why you went there, Jesse, right? Right. You knew.
He called his dad and asked him where he was going to be.
Where's Chris going? You Mike, where's suck. Chris going tonight?
But today, and Sylvie, you know my son pretty well. Today is Nate's last day of high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And,
wow.
Yeah,
so I know. I feel old, but so weird. He missed his varsity baseball season, right? They're going to be in Orlando for a tournament, all that stuff.
Sucks.
We have some sort of drive-by graduation in a couple weeks where you drive up in a parade of cars. Your kid gets out, walks across an outdoor platform. I'm sure the principal, whoever is holding it, has a mask on, hands the diploma. You walk off the platform, get back in your car.
That's wild, man.
Yeah. Jeez. One car per family. So if you have grandparents and you feel safe or whatever, you know, they have to pile in. It's crazy. You have a placard and everything for the car. It's so weird. But I told them, like, in 20 years, hopefully
you won't care.
It'll be a story. A sad story for a lot of people. But, you know, in his case, just a story. The only graduation ever not to be held inside, normally done, you know, all that stuff. But I feel bad about the baseball season.
I do, too.
Hey, all these graduates are going through probably the biggest adversity that they'll go through. I mean, think about it. I sure hope that we don't see adversity like this again in our lifetime.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'd feel a lot worse if I had a college graduate, right? Going into the workforce unknown. Sure.
Brutal.
So
unemployment where it's at right now,
nobody
really looking to hire. I mean, nobody.
Terrible time to be entering the
world. What
will really stink for him if he doesn't get to start his freshman year of high school? It's bad enough, freshman year of college, bad enough you were stuck with your home with your dad all second semester of senior year, right?
Yeah.
Now first semester of college, you might be home, but hopefully not.
Where's he going, Jess?
He's going to Wash U, which is in St. Louis.
Very good.
See, are you going to pay? I mean, his freshman year, are you going to pay tuition if it's going to be e-learning? Like, you might as well go to COD or something like that.
Well, start your curriculum, though, I think.
Well, if you see Wash U's tuition.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why not do your general ed at a local junior college?
Right. It's
a much cheaper rate if you're going to e-learn, Carm. I mean.
Well, they're not going to charge you for what's going to happen.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, they are.
They don't charge you room and board, but they're
that's what I'm saying.
Tuition.
You're not going to get charged room and board. I mean, of course.
Room and board is nothing compared to the tuition. Well, tuition's the big number.
Well, so, no, I understand, but they're still going to start their curriculum. They're still going to start their curriculum. I know it's going to be e-learning, but I mean,
I think Missouri never closed. I don't think so. I feel like Missouri's going to be okay.
Yeah, he'll be good. Yeah. No.
What are you, Ozarks last week?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. What do you? That'll be Nate in 3 months.
Sylvie's got a lot going on right now, obviously, with other stuff health wise. Yes. But like, are you guys going to do something, Sylvie? Are you going to go somewhere?
You know, I got to ask if I can, but I would hope to. Yes, yeah. I would. So I'm taking next Thursday and Friday off. And I said to my wife last night, the goal is next Friday to maybe go to a restaurant.
Right. Yeah.
And sit outside.
We're thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, same here. Same Good. Here. For sure. Here. Let, here
support
I don't know
our
guys,
local restaurants.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Sylvie, have you done this question on the air yet or Carbon? I mean, would you book a vacation? Like I'm thinking about postseason baseball already. If they play in the November, would you book a November December vacation?
I mean, we have one. Yeah, we have one booked for December. Okay. I mean, we're just like waiting.
Yeah,
my wife and I said we'll just wait and see. Like it's out of the country, so that might make it easy for us. They might say you're not allowed to leave. I mean, so if that's the case, we won't go. But we have a vacation plan with the kids for the week before Christmas and
the Bears
we'll
bye
see.
Weekend. I'm going back to Pinehurst.
Right, yeah, so you may as well plan it. You plan it and then see.
Are the fares still good for if you plan in December?
$230 round trip.
Oh, I bet you, Sylvie, if you booked it now, I bet you'd still get real good deals. And just it doesn't hurt to at least book it and hope and be hopeful. And then if, you know, you make that, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, guys. Come November, if they say you're not allowed to leave the country, it makes it real easy for us.
As they like to say, the virus will tell us if we can
book. Exactly.
If I got to wear a hazmat suit on the flight, I'm getting it.
All right, boys, what's up on the show?
So we'll get the latest from Jesse here on Major League Baseball and some interesting stuff from Mark Teixeira.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a guy who made a ton of cash, and now all of us, would he have this stance if he was still making the money he was making? We'll play what he said on Cap Show. Great stuff from Andy Reid on Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky, Matt Nagy. We're going to play that a little bit later. The NBA story is fascinating, too, on what we would want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are you most excited to do here as we slowly reopen? Is it get a haircut? Is it go to a restaurant? Is it golfing? Is it what are you, like, just itching to do here?
Crazy.
And I'm going to try to get Nate over on the headset so Sylvie could give him some nice fatherly advice about going out into the next phase of his
words
life.
Words of wisdom from Sylvie.
Yeah,
I think we need none of that. Yeah.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend, all right?
See you guys.
You too.
Have a good weekend, guys.
Waddle and Sylvie are next. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Jesse's in for Waddle. Odds couple tonight, 7 to 8. Join us for that, and we'll talk to you then. And then we'll see you back here on Monday. Have a great weekend.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Happy Spring Friday in the city of Chicago. Hope you're getting by as we keep forging ahead to slowly reopen a lot of places. And Jesse is in to talk some baseball with us. We have a lot of other things going on, too. The NBA, according to Shams and others now, Adam Silver has told the board of... that's my 90210 love. Adam Silver has told the Board of Governors they're shooting for July 31st. As the data return now, what that will entail and how they will play it, we will see. But, slowly but surely, we're getting some news here and there.
Well, can I ask a weird question? I haven't followed it like you have because you're the big NBA guy. Why so long? Why do we have to wait so long? Can't we get this moving? I want to see some basketball. Does it have to be 2 more months from now before they start playing?
It's probably an advantage that the baseball players have over basketball players, Jesse, because of the logistics. Because if you're playing at home parks like they hope to, then you don't. I mean, isn't that a lot of logistics to take care of if you're going to a bubble city and to prepare this Disney area for their families and for the players and for the schedule of the amount of games in a short period of time?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it both ways. There's plenty of players that rent places, baseball players in their cities, and you know, right now they don't have a rental in Chicago. Though they could get one easily, the team will help out. But I think it, logistically, it's weird for both. But you're probably right. This has never been done before, where players usually come back to Chicago. So it's a routine they're used to. So I hear you. I guess you're right. 2 months, just feels like, man, we're opening up. Let's see something a month from now, three weeks from now.
To your point, Sylvie, it doesn't take that long, but they do need to, construct the courts the way they want them and to get them ready for broadcasting purposes as well. So whatever they want to do there, they need a little bit of time to ramp
up. And then the health and the safety. And do we even know what kind of a schedule we would see? I mean, are they only playing primetime games? Because the NHL will be playing games all day, won't they? I mean, that's what I want to. Are we going to get games starting during the day every day? Like, these are all things that I don't think anybody really knows at this point.
I mean, we talked about it with Carbon and Yurko. Can you just imagine Vegas opens up and all these things are going on, the amount of gambling that's going to go on, starting at noon, right, on a Tuesday? It's going to be insane if this all can work, right?
Except in Illinois.
We're not there yet? What do you mean?
Well, we were there, but I mean, you have to go in person.
Oh, right.
To
right.
sign up for the app, and if these places aren't open, and even though we have the technology to gamble online, and even though it's legal in the state of Illinois, it's so stupid how slow our state does everything.
Yeah, talk about timing. Wasn't it basically the day we shut down?
I remember hearing the guy, Eddie.
Eddie made the first bet, I think.
Right. So, and I don't know why. Why do you have to go in person to use an app?
No idea.
I mean, sign up for the Rivers app online. Sign up for the Hawthorne app online. Sign up for the Arlington app online and let people gamble, make money for the state. Instead, we put red tape around our entire place, and we're like, sorry, can't do it.
Yeah, it reminds me of my wife Tracy is voting is in the news, with the voting, and my wife's like, mail-in votes, go to vote. Why can't we do this online? We do everything online, So gambling and voting should be both online, full time, legal and safe to do.
And the one thing you said, Jesse and Abdallah, you gamble a lot too, Miller. So do you. I feel like that itch is going to have to, like Jesse alluded to, people are going to want to scratch that itch right away. Like, there were record amount of bets, just on that golf match last weekend. And once sports comes back, not only will the ratings be high like they have been for the limited things that we had, but you would think there are going to be a lot of people who want to gamble. And sure, you'll find other ways to gamble, but it just sucks for our state that it's legal and we're sort of stuck in neutral.
Yeah, it's a weird divide. To be serious for a second, you have all these people that, a lot of people lost their jobs, lost their hours. They're not going to be able to do it. But other people that were fortunate to keep their jobs haven't been spending their money, right? They've been dying to get out and golf and spend their money. So there will be that high end, white collar people that are going to probably want to gamble, go to Vegas or try to get online or go to Rivers, like you said. If you can't do it online right now, you can't. So there will be an appetite for it for sure for those people that have the money for it.
Abdallah, Miller, don't you think? I mean, it's a shame, right? Won't you have more of an itch to gamble?
Well, I'm gambling right now. I mean, I got a Bundesliga over I'm sitting on right now. I gambled on the NASCAR event last night. I've been gambling on my phone for a while. So
less money for our state.
Yeah,
exactly.
You could have had my losses from today probably because it's 0-0 at halftime. So I think that you have with the casino coming to the quote city, it'll probably be in the south side somewhere because I don't know where you'd put it on the north side, but it'll probably be on the south side somewhere. And with the Cubs being able to add it, you should just be able to. What they want you to be able to do is prove residency. So I also try to get all these sneakers, right? And some of them are location based because you have to prove your location to enter into certain raffles from certain stores that are in your location. You can manipulate your location. My sister watches my Hulu Live from Norway. She manipulates her location. Yeah, she manipulates her location to make her IP address look like she's in somewhere in Illinois or somewhere in the United States and then does it. The reason that they want you to have to go in person is so you can't do that because then
isn't it more the merrier gambling in Illinois?
Well, no, because then you know they want I guess so. But ultimately, you want as little corruption as possible. And if you've got someone in Wisconsin or someone in wherever it's not legal, I don't know, it might be legal in Wisconsin. I might have just said Wisconsin.
Right.
But
Indiana and Iowa, it's been legal.
Exactly. But you've got someone, let's say, in Wisconsin where it's not legal. You know, they don't want them to manipulate their IP to make bets as if they're in Illinois. They want people in Illinois to be doing this. That's why you can go to Indiana and sign up, but once you leave the state, you can't make your bets.
Right, right. And that's why I wish there was just because of these extenuating circumstances, there was a way that you could sign up in Illinois for these casinos that are open, that are not physically open brick and mortar now, just because a lot of brick and mortar places can't open. So instead, the state's just saying, well, you know what, we'll just wait to get
the that's such a great point. Coming off the pandemic is the time to move everything you can online. And if you want to keep crowds at a socially distanced, you know, safe.
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, this is the time, if ever was a time, right? So, see.
312-332-3776. So, yeah, the NBA July 31st. I want to get into that, Jesse, later about, you know, what sort of plan. I think it's great if the NBA can get, like, the Trailblazers involved, Zion involved. I'll watch more. I mean, think if you could get a play-in tournament and Zion makes it, and then 8-1 is Zion against the Lakers. What kind of ratings coming off a pandemic would Zion versus LeBron do? Like, bring it. This is the year to experiment. I want a lottery tournament. I want the Bulls to play so Karnishevis can view a training camp, can view the practice habits of his team, can analyze his team before an off season, and then I would love to see it where you have to earn the number one pick. The more the merrier. I'm not sure if that's all feasible, but we'll throw it all out there. I want to get from you the latest on baseball, and then we'll play the Mark Teixeira sound. 312-332-3776. The NHL is set. The NBA is gearing up for July 31st. So why the hell can't baseball get its ducks in the row? We'll ask Jesse coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Jesse is in today. Waddle is in South Carolina. I'll be back on Monday. Phone number to reach us, 312-332-3776. I'm kind of sick of it, Jesse. I mean, I've been very passionate and been very pro-player because I feel like people just like to spout off, well, the players need to help out. The players need to help out. And my basic question is why? I mean, and I know society, but this is the furthest thing from normal society with these owners who are running these teams. And, you know, the Royals, like we said the other day, they're a billion-dollar entity. They just sold for $1 billion. The Royals also just announced they're paying their minor leaguers all year. Okay?
No, yeah.
It's one of those teams that probably doesn't have the major market money. They're paying their minor leaguers. A lot of the things that's going on is just very convenient for the owners.
Of course, and I sent you that article that's been circulating among the players, this Roger Ehrenberg, I believe that's how it's pronounced. He's a investment kind of guy, a hedge fund, and he lays it all out, how the owners are the guys with the risk and rewards, and the players are just the employees, and there's ways for the owners to get money if they don't have the cash flow. It's called a loan. It's called selling minority stake. It's called maybe selling a bar down the corner that you own, you know, or if you know what I'm saying, in the case of the Cubs. So this is how the players feel, and the agents, they feel like, and this sounds crazy, they feel like their relationship to the profits and losses for the owners is the same as you and I in our relationship to it. They have nothing to do with it. They're just employees who happen to have contracts and unions and part of a union and collectively bargained agreements. So that's the way they view it. But it's bad right now. It is bad right now. Here, I'll read you a text from an agent. I do this every time with you. MLB made a problematic situation damn near impossible, presented cookbooks with illogical numbers, and made a proposal that they knew was DOA and designed to create inner conflict. Manfred galvanized the PA with their immoral, unprofessional conduct and their inability to ever tell the truth. How about that text?
Yeah.
From an agent. That's how they feel. Now, I'm with Jeff. I would say it's more likely than not that there'll be a deal, but I've talked to agents. They can't see the deal in front of them right now. Usually an agent can, you know, he's negotiating, you kind of see the middle ground. They can't see the middle ground. Now, I know there is a middle ground to be had, but right now both sides are at their extremes. And can I say one more thing about Max Scherzer's tweet?
Yeah.
Like, if the players really want to go to the mat, and I've thought this before about certain times when teams don't spend money and players complain, oh, we didn't go after Bryce Harper. Max Scherzer should call out his own owner. Chris Bryant should call out his own owner if he's going
to
do that.
That's tough, dude. I mean, it's easy to say, but it's tough when you go to that personal relationship that you have.
But that's the problem here. The owners present this whole family atmosphere. We're going to take care of your own family. Here's a room for your wife and your kids, and we're going to give you a nice suite on the road. But when it comes down to signing that check and the hardcore business part of this thing, or signing a free agent to help your team, that's when they cry poor. And look, if you want to really go to the mat on this thing, then call out your own owner, the guy that you were hugging 6 months ago when they won the World Series, because the Lerners and Tom Ricketts and Artie Moreno, they are the problem, not Manfred. Manfred's just doing what the owners want. I'm saying they're the problem for the players, you know, in terms of the players' perspective. So I just, if they really want to go to the mat, that's my thing. Like, go after the guys that sign your own checks.
So, like, when Cap today does the poll about the ML, Rob Manfred being the worst of the commissioners, you feel like Rob Manfred is getting criticized unfairly?
No, not necessarily. We had a meeting in Bristol before the season. I think I mentioned this to you. The fact that this question was brought up in a meeting of baseball reporters, does Rob Manfred love baseball? I mean, that, so there is that aspect. Like, is he, does he really love the game like Bud Selig did, or is he completely a businessman out to make money, which is what most owners are like, but they hide it a little bit better, I guess. So my point is, sure, Manfred deserves the criticism, but he's only doing the bidding of the owners. You know, you have to remember that about any commissioner.
Sure. Here's Mark Teixeira. He was on the station before. How much money did Mark Teixeira make in his career, Meller?
I believe roughly $214 million. He's made the 14th most money in the history of baseball.
So this, he was on with Cap today. Cap told me this was really good stuff too, and he says somehow, some way that the players and the owners have to meet in the middle.
The owners have a business to run. And a lot of them are looking at their spreadsheets and they're saying, we're going to lose a ton of money here. We're going to open this game back up and spend all the money, by the way, for all of this PPE and all of these extra testing and all the standards that you need to put in place to actually safely go about this. We're spending that money. We're giving you 4 years of service time, all of the stuff that Nightingale talked about. We've already made concessions. So in their minds, they've already made concessions. They've already reached across the aisle and said, players, this is what we've done. What are you going to do? And from a player standpoint, I understand they don't want to give up any more money because a game played is a game played, right?
Right.
And players are used to having their contracts guaranteed. But I said this 2 weeks ago, and a lot of players obviously didn't like it. For this one time in 2020, you guys need to give something up here. You guys need to play for less money because the owners are going to lose a boatload no matter what. If the season isn't played, you get zero. You're not getting paid at all. And what I said is if I was an active player in the prime of my career, I would rather take less money for one season than sit on my couch for the rest of the year.
See, but it shouldn't have to come to that either, Jesse. Like, if I'm a player, I'm just like, look, I'm not striking. I'm not withholding my services. I just want to be paid what my contract says. It's up to you, like you said, to reap the rewards when times are good. And now it's time to, you know, make up for some of the losses in some other ways. Put some advertising in with some tarps over the the seats. I said this to Waddle the other day. You know, every baseline should have advertising on it without fans. First baseline should have a big, you know, there are ways, and I'm not telling you they're going to make up everything, but they're giving you these, this formula of we're losing X amount without a crowd. But that's without an ingenuity on how to make some of it up when you do play in your home ballpark.
And some of what he says, Teixeira says, rings true. The players probably need to give and take, and they're, and I think they are willing to. It's just that the owners have started at such an extreme, you know, $35 million down to $7 million for the best players and so on and so forth. The players just think that's way, way too extreme. So I think there is a middle ground. My big thing is deferrals, okay? I've, every player or agent I've talked to, none of them have dismissed the idea of getting paid some now and some later when revenues go back. Now, that would be a give, right? That would be giving into something a little bit. Okay, you don't have to give us all now, but you got to pay us eventually when your revenues return. So that would be one way of doing it. And the other thing that Teixeira is not taking account is there's more layers to this. The players think either way, bad times are coming through free agency and the next CBA because of what's happened all summer, right? So they want to get theirs when they can. They have contracts
what they're
now.
Owed. Yes.
Mookie Betts won't have a contract in 4 months. So, you know, they're owed this now. They don't know what they're going to get in the next CBA. So there's a lot of layers to this. There's got to be a middle ground. It'll come in the 11th hour. I'm less confident than I was a week ago, like Jeff said to you yesterday, but I'm still more than 50% sure.
What a scar it would be if they all return, they all find a way to return, if health cooperates and they're all playing, we get this festival of sports in the summer. And during the summer, when it's supposed to be the boys of summer on the diamond, and they're the ones not playing over money. Waddle thinks they'll be back in 5 years. That will be hard for me to ever truly be all in on baseball like I've been. I want to play this. Go ahead, Jesse.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Because this is what you brought up. Teixeira talked about what this means for future free agents.
You know what? The guys that are going to be free agents the next 2 years that are the middle-aged type guys, the 28 to 30-year-old guys, probably won't. And it's sad to say, and I hate to say it, but the timing doesn't look good for those guys. I'm not sure if you remember, I believe it was the 2004 offseason, where you had these great players like Vladimir Guerrero and Miguel Tejada. They were all free agents. And they all signed deals that were well below what everyone was expecting because of, there was a little bit of a downturn in the economy and the market wasn't very good. And they just had bad timing. Unfortunately, some of these free agents are just have bad timing. And they may never get that money back.
How about Chris Bryant, Jesse? Like, can you imagine you get your service time, you play within the rules, you get the service time manipulated, as the Cubs should have done. And then when it's finally time where he didn't want to, because he thought he was going to get what he deserves. He still has a couple of off seasons here, but still, he may get not even close to what he was thinking just 6 months ago.
Yeah, ironically, it might be better to be a free agent a year from now than in 3-4 months, right? Maybe you give it a year of recoup revenues for owners. Maybe free agency returns in 2022. And it's ironic because he was supposed to be a free agent this year, if they didn't manipulate his service time. So I don't know if it probably won't benefit him. But you know what I'm saying? If I'm Mookie Betts, I'm really nervous. Not nervous. Guy's going to be set up for life, but it could be $400 million to $150 or something. Again, shouldn't make you nervous, but it just sucks, right? If you're one of the best in the game at the peak of your career, free agency is upon you, and this happens. But it is what it is.
Sylvie, you mentioned something about Chris Bryant that I want to explore. The way you phrased it, I think, is perfect because it just goes to – I'll explain it when we come back, but it's a perfect way to basically show some of the adversarial nature that exists between the players and the owners, and it articulates, I think, exactly what you're talking about
here. All right, the Chris Bryant conversation coming up next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for safe and satisfying Manscaped jobs. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago. You better be taking care of the downstairs area, Jesse. You taking care of downstairs?
As much as I can, yeah.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, come on. A lot of you bald guys, too, are, like, extra hairy in other places. Isn't that the way it works? Isn't that the physics of the situation?
It has to grow somewhere, in other words. Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. It has to grow somewhere.
With most of my friends who are, like, the bald guys, they're extra hairy in other places. So.
Well, I've always felt like the pandemic was finally the revenge of the bald guys, you know, because we didn't need the haircuts like you guys do.
Right.
So
well, I'll be with you here soon. I've got about a week or two before I'm going to be sporting my Jesse look. So.
You're shaving it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to –
Right.
They've pretty much guaranteed me that I'm going to lose it. So once I see a little sign of little hair on my pillow, then I'm just going – I'm going to shave the head. And then, you know.
You use the Lawnmower 3.0 for that, Sylvie?
I have been. Nice. Now, I've got the 2.0 and the 3.0, so, but I have admitted that I've used the 3.0 now for upstairs and downstairs jobs. And generally, it's not the way I usually like to do my business, but, you know, these uncertain times.
Have you ever shaved your head before?
Yes, I've done St. Baldrick's before. Like, I've never been bald like you or Cap. Like, to the skin, you know what I mean?
Yeah, gotcha.
And I feel crew
cut, we call it, right, sort of thing.
Right, and I feel like I got Scottie Pippen. Like, part of my scalp, I feel the ridges. And I'm worried that, like, Scottie Pippen, like, midway through his career decided to shave. I don't know if you remember when he shaved his head. Like, sort of like a Michael look. And he had, like, these alien ridges on his head.
But that vaguely, was, yeah.
But,
yeah.
Sylvie, that wasn't that Pippen's best year? Like, because he was, that was 94, wasn't it?
When it could have been,
I'm
yeah.
pretty sure, because I think he won the NBA All-Star Game MVP.
With that look?
Yes, I'm almost positive. I'll have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure.
Well, if Sylvie has just a run of great shows while he's bald, he might just keep it even after he gets healthy.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the hair. What I'm worried about is the eyebrows. That's the weird stuff. You know what I mean? The eyebrows, the eyelashes, everyone
tells
me.
Didn't think of that. Did not
Neither
think
did
of
I
that,
but, until my wife mentioned it. So, hey, we deal. Whatever. All right, what did you want to bring up about Chris Bryant, Meller?
So, this just lends to why there's so much mistrust. You just look at the way the Cubs treated and the way you said it, too, which is right, Sylvie. You said, you know, Chris Bryant, they held him down, which they should have done. Part of the whole what's been going on for you know, basically the history of baseball, the way the owners have basically, you know, they put the screws to the players union forever, basically. And it wasn't until Kurt Flood basically, you know, held out for free agency and had to win, you know, a historic court case that things started to change in the union's direction. But once they did, they put in all these, they basically would take advantage of the minor league system and the service time of the younger players for years and years, because the players union was more than willing to barter away all the younger players and everything with the minor leaguers and the way they were paid and the way their service time was going to be manipulated. And what happened is, like, it makes sense for Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer to hold down Chris Bryant for 10 days because they get the extra year and the back end during the prime of his career. We as fans understand that all makes sense. But at the same time, it creates this hostility between the players and all the really good young players who you hope are the face of your sport when years down the road. It creates this unneeded hostility between the employer that the owners are and the players' union. And so that when you get into this time of distress where they don't trust, why would they trust you? Because like Theo and Jed, they can't explicitly say, oh, we're keeping Chris Bryant down for 10 days because that will come back and hurt them legally. And Scott Boris and the suit that Chris Bryant had with them, that would then, you know,
they would have won it.
That would have been held against them. Yeah, right. So they have to publicly say, oh, no, Chris Bryant is working on some things, his defense. We want to make sure that he's major league ready when he gets here. But we all know in reality that you're holding him down for that extra year of service time. So when stuff like that goes on, and that's just one example, you know, and we've seen it multiple times throughout the sport, that when you get to this spot, why should the players do anything to bend over backwards to help the owners?
Right. What you're getting at is the system has created the mistrust. Using your example, if they had decided that players that, you know, if you come up June 1st or July 1st, and that counts as a full season, then owners would have to make a decision. Okay, wait a minute. Do I really want to play half a season without Chris Bryant or not? That's a big decision. But to say 10 days in, you can eliminate a whole season of service time, well, that's an easy decision, but right. It creates the mistrust. Even so the system.
Jesse, even simpler, like I would say them the rules. Like in all this, hey, Chris Bryant, you want to be a big leaguer right now? You're ready? Hey, them the rules. This is the way we manipulate some things. So now what I would turn to in the owners, what's good for the goose, I would say, guys, you take on the risk. I understand this is a pandemic and this is bad, but these guys have contracts. Them the rules. You aren't entering. Yeah, you guys aren't entering into some sort of a partnership with Chris Bryant when he wants to be up and get an extra year of service time. They're not doing him any favors because them the rules.
And that
now all
system,
of a sudden they want the players to like buy into. Oh well, we're partners. You got.
Yeah,
you
we're partners exactly. And the system favors the owners in every turn, except for maybe arbitration. Remember Addison Russell? While suspended, he got a raise. Now, he didn't get as much of a raise as if he would have gotten if he wasn't suspended. But arbitration, the only thing, because players basically get a raise no matter what they did the previous year, unless they're released, of course. So arbitration favors the players a little bit. But free agency now, owners and GMs say, look, we have the stats. Now they have all these deep stats so they can suppress without being accused of collusion, you know, or found guilty of collusion. So free agency hasn't really helped the players. The CBT now has created a salary cap, right? There's a salary cap, yet there's sure. No salary floor. They could say, we don't want to pay taxes on this, so we're not going to go over this payroll. But there's no floor. So almost every right. turn, it favors the owners, except for maybe arbitration.
Mike and Valpo, really quick. You're on
Mike
ESPN
just
without.
Oh, he just dropped. Okay.
All right, that's all right.
Dropped.
So Jesse's got some ESPN national duties here at 3 o'clock, and then you're going to pop back on around Waddle's World time or whatever.
Yep.
So you do your thing, Jesse, and we'll talk to you in a little bit.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
There's Jesse Rogers. If you want to weigh in, 332-3776. Andy Reid was on the radio station today. Talk about good stuff about both Bears quarterbacks and the head coach. He addressed it all. And a conversation about Pat Mahomes. They're renegotiating his deal 2 years before free agency. Is that a smart? We're talking about business decisions. Is that a smart business decision? We're talking some NFL in 2 minutes.